Peace, party people. I know it's been a minute. Welcome to episode 148 of Where My Killer Tape At, where I bring you the mighty, mighty Zemo, Divine Power, and we talk about True Goida Dub, a.k.a. Dave, a.k.a. Plug 2 of De La Soul, and De La Soul's influence on the culture, as well as discussing how really fucked up streaming does our artists. Word, check it out. Killer tape, Abby.
I got the young god in the house, Zemo Divine Power. Wow. Peace. How you doing, man?
Yo, peace. Wow, young god. You know what I'm saying?
Because I just hit 50. Oh. So everybody is mad young to me. So
okay. Right. Okay, so you know, power cipher and culture cipher in full effect.
True indeed. So I apologize for the last couple times we tried to do this. I kept rescheduling and canceling it. A lot has been going on. We're good. We're definitely good. I do want to say that we're going to be talking about True Goida, the Dub, Dave, and you know De La Soul and all of that. But I just want to say real quick, this is dedicated to True Goida, the Dub. And like when he passed, like a couple days later, I had to go to the, you know, I had to go do my yearly checkup. I always do an annual checkup before my born day.
Right.
And I was really nervous. I was really anxious. And I went in there, and my blood pressure was up. And they were like, damn, we never seen your blood pressure. It wasn't bad, mm-hmm. but they never seen you shit like this. So it took it two more times. It was lower, but it was still higher than normal. So they were like, yo, we need to run some tests. So I was shook, bro. I was shook.
No, well, so, like, it makes me glad to hear that you do that, though. You know what I'm saying? Because I do that as well, you know, same thing. Like, my wife is always checking on me. So, your birthday is coming up. You set up that doctor's appointment. Like, yeah. You know, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
And because I'm thinking now, like, you know, I spoke to one of my uncles, and he's in his early 60s, and, you know, he's got some bad news. And when I asked him, I was just like, so do you, you know, what, you know, do you get, you know, annual checkups? And he was just like, nah, I only go to the doctor when I'm sick. And it kind of crushed me, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm just like, man, like, we probably could have prevented, you know, what's going on. I'm not going to get all into it, to the details, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it just makes me feel good to know that, you know, you're doing your due diligence for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, a lot of time is just as people, you know what I'm saying? You know, we really don't really focus on ourselves as much as we should, man.
I agree. And I know there's a lot that comes with it. Like, there's that, you know, because I was, even though I've done it before, you know, and even the nurse was like, yo, you, why you tripping? Like, everybody's like, yo, why you tripping? Everybody's like, why you tripping? I got my results today. Everything's normal. Everything's good. You know, prostate, all that. Everything's good. It came in the day in the mail. So I'm that's why I'm really happy and excited. And I wanted to share that with everybody. Like, yo, I'm good. Because, you know, when you see a lot of these cats that we grew up on, that
just some of them, away.
You know, some of them technically are our peers, you know what I'm saying? And then they're passing away. You just like, oh, so it all, you know,
self-care,
you know,
man. Self-care,
true indeed. And you know,
self-care means a lot.
Yeah. When you listen to like a lot of the songs, you'd be like, oh, home, you know, homie gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd be like, oh, yeah, so that's a, oh shit. You know, like only Paz is still here, you know. So
yeah,
like
one third of that song is still alive.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And you hear other joints, you'd be like, oh, hold on. Like, I forgot. Like, oh, snap.
The joint with Guru on Balloon Mind State.
Yeah, and that's my joint. Yeah. It hits different. It hits different. So, like, you know, my advice to everybody, get your checkup, get your annual checkup. And I know a lot of times it's like, for example, when I went in, they was like, oh, we need you to schedule. Can you schedule a Friday? I said, hey, I got to work. Like, I got to take time off. And I had already taken time off. I said, I'm going to come back. So I get it. You got to take time off. And sometimes a lot of us can't do that, you know, but you really can't, you know, you really can't mess with it. Like you got to take time off because, and I get it. You know, most doctors are they open during working hours. So, so get it done. You know, and we'll figure it out the money later. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So that's what I try to tell cats. Anyway, we're going to get into it. I feel mad conceited because like I knew they were going to release a Daylight shit on March 3rd, which is my born day. So I was, that shit was like what a great gift, bro. Like yeah. What a great gift. And what an extensive catalog, like, holy shit. Like, you know, it's a good way to go to trip down memory lane. We're going to go into that second, but I do want to talk about preservation of artifacts because the whole thing really made me pause over the idea that, yo, I actually don't have most of their shit on physical copy, right? And I remember watching The Last of Us, and everybody had cassette tapes. And because in The Last of Us, it starts, not to spoil it for anybody, but the zombie apocalypse starts in 2003 versus now. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't, everything wasn't on, you know, everything wasn't streaming in 2003. You could still buy shit on vinyl, CD, and stuff like that.
DVD.
So a lot of the stuff they was able to preserve, because the events that take place in the movie happen, now it's happening in 2023, but the zombie apocalypse started in 2003. So that really made me think about, we need to really start like, you know, collecting shit and keeping it. Because I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but you just to preserve shit, you know?
Yeah, word. Yo, I still have the physical copies of all my Daylight joints, word. Like for real.
You know, I forgot that I've been to your house and I've seen
all your shit. I still got it. Like, it's all here. You know what I'm saying? Like
and I remember
all
you, I think,
music like this.
You even still have cassette singles. You still like have cassette singles.
Yeah. I still got cassette singles, man. Just laying around, man.
Yeah.
I don't have everything. You know, stuff gets lost in the scuffle when you move a lot and stuff. But yeah, man, I got all my Daylight. And I'm not sure if anybody remembers. I can't remember which year it was, but one year, man, they I don't know how they did it, but like for one day, you could download all those albums.
Yeah, I remember. I have them. I downloaded them. They did it on MP3, and they did it for like a week. And it was like, you could download
It was one day.
It was one day?
I think it was one day, bro. Because I remember calling everybody that might.
Because I downloaded it. My son downloaded some stuff. You know, like, he was like, yo, Dad, I'm going to get some. And I remember I got, because I know at the time I didn't have De La Soul Was Dead. I didn't have a copy of that. So I was like, the first shit I downloaded. It's in my iPhone, and it's in my hard drive. But I got everything except AOI Bionics, that's everything else I got. I remember getting it, but I, you know, a lot of the stuff I couldn't put it to. I had to physically put it in my phone.
Right.
So it's trying to save space.
Right. Back when you had to upload your CDs into your PC or your iMac or whatever, and then hook it up and then have it connect and sync and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, go ahead.
No, because I had done that as well. Like the ones that I actually still had the copy of, I remember uploading them already to my iTunes library. So I just downloaded the ones, you know, that day that they dropped them. I just downloaded the ones that I just hadn't uploaded, because some of them I had on cassette. So I couldn't upload it. You know what I'm saying? You know, Blue Mind State and Stakes Is High, I got on tape. You know what I mean?
Oh wow!
You know what I mean? So it's like yo, can't upload these.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I got them joints, and I remember my son got a couple. And I put it on my hard drive, and like, so I got to open up my laptop to listen to them. So,
right. But I know our story and our experience ain't a majority of people's experience when it comes to how they consume music. So,
true indeed.
You know,
true
indeed. This music being available, you know, on the streaming platforms is definitely a victory in today's age. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Especially for them. I think the story of how it all came about, I think, is actually dope. Cause I know with De La Soul and Tom Silverman, cause it was really Tom Silverman, of Tommy Boy. They were fighting for decades to get their masters, to get access to streaming. And that's the reason why it wasn't streaming, was cause they were never able to work anything out. And, but when Reservoir took over, the first thing they did was hit up De La Soul, and then we're like, "Hey, let's work this out." And I thought that's a dope story, you know, that, you know, shout out to Reservoir for that, because they didn't have to do that, you know.
Nah, and not at all.
Yeah.
Most companies wouldn't.
Exactly. They did that. They wouldn't. And keep in mind that a lot of these, you know, a lot of these old school artists, when they signed these deals, you know, streaming wasn't even in the imagination.
Right.
So, of course, it's not on the contract. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff that you hope you can lawyer up and get to work out later on, if you could afford it. But, you know, back then, streaming wasn't even a thing, you know, part of the imagination.
At all. Not at all.
So,
like, there's no way you could have told me back then that one day, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can pay $10 and listen to all the albums you want.
Yeah.
Like,
and we pay $15 a month for the family plan and we can listen to whatever the fuck we want. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. mostly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's still, it took me, believe it or not, I'm trying to think, like, when I actually started paying for the streaming subscriptions, like the, I used Apple Music.
Same here.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, when I actually started, because I know it still took me a while, like, maybe, like, I think, like, 2018 or 19 is when I was still, like, you know, either purchasing a physical copy or, like, just going to, like, maybe spend a little $9 for whatever album it was that I wanted, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, as an artist myself, you know, I understand that, yo, you know, this is how cats make their money. You know what I'm saying? You want the return on your investment. So, I mean, you know, I've been supporting, you know, the artists that I like pretty much all my life. So my thought was always like, why would I stop now? But, you know, you can't beat $10 a month, bro.
Nah, you can't. You know what I'm saying? You can't. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, yeah. You pay, you know, we started because it was inexpensive. Because, you know, like, I was buying music. I was buying 99 cents a song. I was buying music.
Yeah.
I was buying music. And then my kids were buying music. And we're all in the same account, you know. And it was because we started when my daughter and my son, we got the family plan. When my daughter and my son got cell phones on the same plan. And it just made sense because we were all buying music on my account.
Right.
So it was like, oh, who spent $30-something? On this, you know, so it was like, oh, so it was just a smart deal to do the family plan because we were all buying music, you know, so we all had different tastes. We were all buying music. So it just made sense to do that. But I want to get into that because, and I should have sent you this article from Producer Hive, and it tells you, because most Yasiin Bey brought it up in that Tyler, his second interview on,
People's Party.
People's Party, where he talked about how they were getting fractions of a penny. He talked about it. It's a clip that everybody keeps posting. Yeah. Everybody keeps posting that clip, but I watched that entire interview, and he was right. So, I'm gonna start. So, for example, Deezer, a streaming platform, Deezer, they pay royalty rates per stream if you get the right deal. Is 0.0011 cents.
That's ridiculous.
It's fucking ridiculous, right? So then you go to Pandora, it's 0.0013, right? YouTube Music is 0.002. Spotify is 0.00318. Amazon is 0.00402. Apple Music is 0.008. And Tidal is the you know, unfortunately, the best on the market is 0.012. So,
wow.
So you're actually getting you're getting less than 1 cent. So on Tidal, if I want to make a dollar, it got to be 78 streams. On Apple Music, for me to make a dollar, it has to be 125 streams. So meanwhile, record labels on average get 16% of the royalties.
Man,
so they're actually doing way better than ever before, and that's why now you understand why Blacks I understand why Blackstar was like, we not even doing all that, we doing this.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure, you know, the record labels is in bed with the streaming platform.
Oh yeah, they're very much so. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, definitely. Damn, man, like, it's music industry is so. I mean, it's funny because, like, we thought it was just so bad. We thought it was so bad back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's it kind of, yo, we need to just burn the whole thing down and start over again, bro.
Like, yeah, like, and you know what's crazy? If we go back in time and be like, yo, the shit is worse. We need to be like, this shit cannot be worse than what it is now.
Yeah, you right? thought you weren't making money as a recording artist now? Shit.
Shit, yep.
Yeah, man. Yep. Like, and it explains why, you know, people charge so much for concert tickets now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's the only way the artist is gonna eat is by going on tour and performing. So, yeah, you know, concert tickets used to be, I mean, I don't know about you. I remember being 757 going to like the grocery store to buy Ticketmaster or whatever.
Yeah.
And the tickets would be dumb cheap. Like I don't remember paying more than like $20 to go to any concert. You know what I'm saying? Like
I think the only time was I paid $99 to see Prince.
Yeah, that's Prince though, B. Like,
no, but I'm just saying I thought that was a lot of money. I mean, I didn't balk. I said, you know, it's Prince. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't balk. I was like, oh, it's Prince. But I thought it couldn't get no higher. You know what I'm saying?
It's ridiculous but now.
It's ridiculous now. And then you gotta fucking fight for that shit.
And it's some other shit too with as far as like the situation with like Ticketmaster.
Oh man, yeah.
Like how they pretty much got a monopoly on the game. And so like pretty much the promoters and the artists, they gotta go through them in order to sell their tickets, because Ticketmaster's in bed with the venues, mm-hmm. and it's, man, it's a real wicked slippery slope of just let's just call it what it is, corruption of a business, of an industry, man. And you know, it really puts you in a bind as a music lover and a supporter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because you know, like Anita Baker's on tour now, about to start a tour here this spring, I believe. And you know, that's my wife's favorite singer. I mean, I've seen Anita Baker, but she hasn't.
Oh wow.
And yo, son, like for like a decent seat right now, like matter of fact, though, the last time I looked at it, who knows what's happened since the last time I looked at it. It's like $300 a person, B.
Let me say this. Let me say this. I'm not trying to blame nobody.
One ticket, son.
No, I'm not trying to blame nobody. I just know that when people started discussing how much they were getting paid per show, and I was looking at like a lot of these up and coming artists that weren't like, you know, and
any artists in general across
not any artists, because you know, there was a time when you had to work your way up to making 50-60K a show.
Word.
Right. You started off low. I mean, Wu-Tang, they talk about it on their show. Right. Yep. How they started, how they were splitting up, you know, $1,200 between, you know, nine members, you know, and you had to work your way up. Right. You had to work your way up. And I remember putting shows together, and I remember Cass saying, hey, you better get me now, because, you know, in a couple of years, you ain't gonna be able to afford me. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, and what happened was at a certain point when stuff was started to stream, a lot of the younger artists were asking for 110-150K. And I remember stories of cats, and I was like, but I never heard of these dudes before, but that's what they were demanding and getting. So that kind of, they also changed the game. And if you talk to the older cats, they'll be like, yo, these young cats getting money now, they're you know, we never imagined that. You know, there were certain artists that got that much, but they kind of had to work their way up, you know. Mm-hmm. So like Drake, you know, I think his minimum is 250K, you know.
And Drake's a bit of an anomaly in this discussion due to the fact he's like the biggest pop star.
You know but this is before. This is like 10 years ago, right? This is like 10 years ago. He was getting 250K on. You know, that's like his low end. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and you know, now he can. Now he's, you know, he's selling out arenas, so that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But 10 years ago was a different story. You know what I'm saying? So like a lot of these young cats. I remember, you know, when Young Thug and them was coming up, they was asking. You know, when they weren't even like 7 minutes of records, but they were asking for 40-50K a show, you know, and getting it. And they were working in their regions, you know what I mean? Like just in their regions. And that stuff, you know, don't get me wrong, I think that was dope that they saw how the older cats was doing when they were younger, and they were like, we're not doing that, you know. Right. So it raised the stakes for everybody else, you know. It really raised the stakes. Like, again, I think that's great, but then it goes back to what you were saying as a consumer and as a fan. You know, Apple Music is $15 a month is very fucking convenient. But at the same time, I'm a shaft to artists. you know, because they gotta get 125 plays to get a dollar.
Right. You know? So now the artist is gonna squeeze me for every penny I got if I want to see him.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a real slippery slope, man. And I mean, I'm not saying it's a problem and there needs to be a solution, but yo, man, you and me, like, we're out here working regular jobs, man. I can understand because Anita Baker is you know, R&B royalty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I get maybe why her price is high. She done earned it, right? But mm-hmm. still, like, you know, I'm just thinking about, like, you know, regular shows that I want to see cats coming by around the way. I'm like,
the wild part is that's the low end.
Yeah. Like I said, those were the low tickets. That's the,
you know, I'm saying Anita Baker, I hate to be this way because she's the GOAT. That's the low end. Because if you want to see Beyonce,
son,
you know,
it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I know cats that are like, you know, I'm eating ramen noodles for the next couple of weeks because I had to buy these Beyonce tickets.
Yo, wait for them to put it on Netflix.
You know what I'm saying? I get it. Like, if you're a fan, you're a fan. You know what I'm saying?
True,
like,
true indeed.
You know, that's because, you know, people are looking at me funny. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna buy these vinyl joints for $300. Like, they're looking at me funny. You know, but so but you know, that's what I'm saying is Anita Baker is on the and Beyonce is like on the high end. And I know people that are like cutting corners, you know, and trimming the fat so they can go see Beyonce, you know?
So, yeah, because I'm thinking, like, you know, bringing it back to De La, I'm thinking, like, the first time I saw De La was around when it was during the grind date.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that's, like, 2004. Yeah, and I saw him here in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think none of us paid more than $50. Matter of fact, I don't even think it was $50. It might have been, like, 30 or 40 or something like that. And maybe when you added the taxes and the fees, maybe it bumped up a little bit. Like,
I've never paid more than $40. Even when I took Xavier's mother to see De La. I took Xavier's mother to see De La, Fishbone, and Goody Mob.
Yo, all in one show?
And yes, it was, yes. Yes. And that shit wasn't more than 50 for me and her.
Yeah, man.
For me her, that shit wasn't more than 50.
Yeah, I think I paid like 30 or 40 bucks for De La show. And keep in mind, it was like one of the best shows. I think I didn't.
God, were you there? Hold on. Go ahead.
Yeah, because they had one show like when the album came out, and then they came back again to DC. Like, believe it or not, like months later.
Yeah.
And goddamn, Fight Dog showed up. Dress from Black Sheep was there, and I think fucking DJ Kool came out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and both shows were just two of the greatest nights ever, man. Like, I loved De La Soul before then, but you know, like, I really, really like they really my top 10 favorite hip hop acts of all time. Like, they really cemented themselves on that list for me, anyway.
Yo, Z-Bo, you know what I mean? I think. I really, and call me crazy. But no, I think you need to check yourself. And here's why.
Uh-oh.
Because I remember being with you at one of these shows.
The day back, joints?
It could have been somebody else. But back in the day, Newport did a bunch of Newport Cigarettes. They did a bunch of hip hop shows that were free. I can't remember if you was with me at the Run DMC shit or the De La one.
It was one of them.
The De La shit was in Newport News. The Run DMC shit was in Virginia Beach, and Newport Cigarettes used to do these shows. They used to do these tours, and the shows are free.
Nah, I don't think I was there.
Because that was when they couldn't advertise the cigarettes in magazines anymore. Cigarettes couldn't, so they're like, we're gonna just do concerts, and they did a series of concerts for like 2 years straight. They did a series of concerts, at for free. You went and they were free, and De La was one of them. I think it was the De La Soul, bro. I really think he was there, bro.
Nah, man, it might have been.
It was either that or the Run DMC joint.
I ain't never seen Run DMC live, so I know it wasn't that. Shoot, it might have been Johan, bro.
Yo, I could have sworn you was at one of them shits, yo.
Yeah, nah, I wasn't there, man. I wish.
I could have sworn. I could have sworn he was at.
I didn't see De La until the grind day. I mean, yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, wow. But yeah, I mean, I always was, you know, back in the day, always just hanging around with tagging along with Johan, trying to sneak in spots that I couldn't get in, wasn't old enough to get into. So, you know, I see why you would think that.
Wow, I could have sworn you was there, bro. I really. Or is it either that? You say you never seen Run DMC? Oh man, no. it was a free show. Yeah. Man, you sure?
Positive, bro.
Yeah, but I remember that show because I know I was really drunk, but I remember they were like, yo, what songs y'all want us to do? And me and what's his name from Juniper Salee were like, Afro Connections and High Five. And they did that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did that shit, yo. And it was like, and I was like, you fucking kidding me, bro. You know, it was De La Soul and Pharoah Monch. Yeah, De La Soul and Pharoah Monch. Yeah, and they were like, and Pharoah Monch was like, what songs do you want me to do too? And I was like, do 13. And he was like, who said that? And I was like, me. And he's like, me. And he's like, oh shit, no one's ever requested 13. And I was like, really? And he did that shit, yep.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, yep. So like, but I could have sworn you was there.
I was there in spirit. I wish, man.
Yeah, so. But yeah, you say you didn't see him for four. Like I said, I saw Fishbone, De La, and Goody Mob. And I for two tickets, I know. I think with tax, it came up to like 52 something.
Right.
You know, yeah. So like, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know that shit was live. That damn
Fishbone. That shit was fucking. Yeah, they fucking killed it, man.
Yeah.
They fucking killed it. So, yeah. But yeah, but anyway, so we talked about how much artists are getting, and I appreciate that you said not getting. You're right, and I appreciate the fact that you're like, yo, we don't have any solutions to it. Like we don't, you know, because even with the Black Star shit, and I know I'm going off on a tangent. Even with the Black Star shit, I still think they played themselves.
You want to hear something?
What's that?
I still never heard it.
Oh wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Like, so now it's just like, okay, I'm already paying this much money to get my music here. Now I gotta go somewhere else and pay again. Like, goddamn, man. Like, I'm like, as a consumer, I'm not fucking made of money, B. Like, I gotta, yo. I mean, you know me, yo. So I'm married. I got kids. Like, yo, where I spend my money is a calculated decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like for real. Like, I really gotta like think it through, man. Like. I love Yasin and I love Talib. Like, I really do. Like, you know, like, I don't think anybody was a bigger fan of Black Star that first run than me, man. But I just missed it because, you know what I mean? Like, if it's not streaming where I'm already paying my money, I'm not going to get to it. I mean, did they even release any vinyl or like CDs?
That was my thing. My thing was they could have released that shit on vinyl. And you know, $20 for the vinyl, and the true fans would have been good. Like, that was my issue with them. I was like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah, I definitely would have copped some vinyl, but you know, it was nothing. So guess what? I still ain't heard it.
And okay. I'm gonna say this. It's all right. What? You could tell it was because they admitted that it was like, here's my verse. I'm gonna send it to you. Here's the beat. You can tell it was like, damn, like it's very incoherent. It's not whack, but you can tell they wasn't in the studio together vibing.
Nah, man, like yo, yeah. Nah, I'm not. Let's say I'm still really just not. I'm not excited to hear it. And it sounds weird coming from me because I don't feel that way about them as artists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm always hyped. You know what I'm saying? But
again, it's not whack, but it's not whack, but it's like you could tell like they was calling, you know, punching it in and calling it in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you can tell. You could, you know, Madlib's production is dope. Not his best work.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I don't think it was better than the shit he did with Talib on that one album.
Oh, the Liberation joint back in the day?
It's not better than any of that on there. You could tell it was like I hate to be this way, and then we're gonna move on. You could tell it was like, oh, I got this shit on my hard drive. We can use this.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, I like it. I listen to it. I like it, but it just wasn't worth the wait. And I felt they would have been better suited if they did it on vinyl or like sold straight to the consumer. Like, hey, you can download it, and just pay. And you know, I think they'd have seen more money.
Yeah, what's his name does that a lot? Rock Marciano.
Yeah,
does that a lot. Like, yo, if you want this, you need to come straight to me. And the funny thing is, it's like he'll do that for like the first month or two, and then you know after his true hardcore fans pay their bread for the vinyl or whatever it was, then he'll throw it out on streaming.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? which is smart. You know what I mean? Because now it's just like, well, if you're really his fan, you know what I'm saying? You got exclusive rights to, because he's not gonna press up anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Any more of this merch. So you got it, and you know what I'm saying. And you're in an exclusive elite club of people that own this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they would have been better if they did that. If I really like was like, man, why didn't they do that? Because they come from that era of Ruckus,
right?
You know what I mean?
Like, come on, son.
And I would have subscribed to the shit, but they only had. The only thing on that platform is Dave Chappelle's podcast.
What am I paying for, son?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what am I paying for?
Yeah, you know.
You want me to pay this every month?
Yep.
Nope.
Yep. So.
So moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on.
So then, like that article that I sent you, the issue with Tommy Boy and Tom Silverman, which was a bad deal. Oh, real quick, for my listeners out there, I don't know if you listen to this podcast, What Had Happened Was by Open Mike Eagle.
No, I don't. I know okay. He is, but not.
Definitely, and it's only two seasons. The first season is like 10 episodes with Prince Paul.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. And Prince Paul goes through his whole catalog. Yeah, he goes through his whole, I think there's like 1 or 2 hours he doesn't cover, but he covers most of his shit. It's starting with De La.
So, okay.
So he starts off with Stetson Sonic, then he starts off with De La.
I'm about to say Stetson Sonic, De La.
Yeah, he starts with
Gravediggers.
Gravediggers. He gets into that.
Oh, wow.
And then he gets into the his instrumental shit. And then he gets into that movie he made.
The Prince Among.
Yeah, Prince Among Thieves. Yeah, he gets into that shit. Like, but he tells you about the record deal and how it went down and how their budget was like. I think it was for the whole album, the first Daylight album. I think it was like $20,000 for that budget.
Oh, wow. In the 80s?
Yeah. But, you know, they were supposed to get a bigger budget, but they got a really small budget. And that's why on the first album, they those samples, they just said, let's just fucking go. You know what I mean? So I know a lot of the issues with the money was they got sued by so many people.
Right.
You know what I mean? They had to pay out so many people because they used so many fucking samples that they never cleared. And so that was one issue. Then, so shout out to Open Mike Eagle for that. Then in the second season, he interviews Dante Ross, who was around for a lot of that shit, you know, for a lot of all that stuff. Like, he was around all that stuff. So he gives you more insight as to what was going on. Check it out. So it was two seasons. Really, anything, Open Mike Eagle has his own, like, podcast channel. Pretty much, like, you would love the Dad Pod Rapcast. You would like that shit.
I've heard one episode. It was the one where OC was on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard that one episode. And I rock with it. I don't think I've tapped back in since then.
They're off and on because sometimes they'll have somebody I've never heard of before, so I'll skip it. Then like they just had Dante Ross on it talking about True Goy the Dove.
Right.
Yeah. So but I want to get back into De La and De La's influence on the entire culture.
Wow.
I know that they hated, not that they hated, but they hated doing the song Me, Myself, and I. And I remember seeing them perform and they would start the song off and they would cut it off. They'd be like, nah, we're not doing that. So,
oh, wow.
So, because that was like their biggest hit. And it kind of put them in a situation because then everybody started calling them. Anyway, they started calling them hip-hop hippies, but
which is weird, man. I never understood that.
It was crucial at that time because back then a lot of artists were braggadocio. They were, you know, I got my fat gold chain. This is how I get down. Right. And they were somebody that was different, and they weren't afraid to say, yo, we're from the suburbs. You know, we're from the burbs. And I thought that was even though Rakim had always said it ain't where you're from, it's where you at.
Right.
And he talks, if you got the Rakim book, he talks about that in his book, about where he came up with that idea. And and why he was so big on that philosophy.
I still haven't finished reading that joint, you know.
Oh, it's I think if I was editing that book, I would have taken out the parts about some of his rhymes, like the stuff that's in bold. I'd have taken that out.
Yeah, and yeah, I feel you. I still haven't finished it yet, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do need to finish that, John.
Because when you get into those, it's a slow read.
It slows the pace down, right?
Yeah, it slows the pace down. So if I was the editor, I would have said, hey, let's take that out.
An appendix in the back or something.
Something like that. Yeah. So that kind of is, because when I get to that part, I slow down in my reading. But he gets into that. So when it comes to like masculinity, particularly black masculinity, I love the fact that even back then I realized that De La Soul was challenging those ideas, those tropes of what makes, you know, black men masculine. And even though me, myself, and I, they didn't like it, it was like real pop, but it really said, hey, it's okay for you to be who you are.
You know?
And I think that's important. My thing is that, and no one, I fucking argue with motherfuckers about this shit all the time, because when I hear people talk about skits, don't get me wrong, the true heads know.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is where it starts, bro.
This is like, where it fucking starts, right? This is it. This is
that,
it, right?
That first album is like somebody was watching TV and kept changing the channel. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
like for real. So you stop and watch a little bit of this, then you change the channel. You stop and watch a little bit of that. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It was like Saturday morning cartoons in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like. You know, you stay on this channel for a little bit, then switch to the next, you know, to get your favorites, man. Like in a, it all winded up working on that album. Yeah.
Shout out to the late great Don Newkirk, for being the game host on that album. and shout out to my youngest because he gave me the answer to one of the questions: how many feathers on a Purdue chicken? like that, it's zero, Dad. And I was like, wait, what? I've been trying to figure this shit out for years. And you just was like, it's zero, Dad. You know, and I was like, oh shit. So I thought that was really dope. And really, quite honestly, I argue with people to this day, no one has been able to match the skits on that album.
I think if anybody was to kind of come close, and this is maybe not, I know Redman skits were always fun to me.
Yeah.
And early Busta Rhymes skits were fun to me.
Yeah, you know what I
mean? Like for real. Other than that, like I'm usually always like skipping.
I can listen to it one time and then that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I can listen to it one or two times and then I can keep it moving.
With these joints though, like I said, it's part of the album. Yeah. It's part of the experience. Yep.
And then when they went to De La Soul Was Dead, I was like, oh, these cats take it to the next fucking level.
Right.
You know. And then when you thought that they couldn't do it, an AOI Bionics with the Ghost Weed.
Cool. I'll say this, because you figure when Stakes Is High is the first time without Prince Paul, right?
Yeah.
It's obvious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so obvious. You know what I'm saying? Because of the lack of, for lack of a term, organized chaos that is the skits and everything that brings it all together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I thought, you know, like you said, when they got back to some of that on AOI, it was a nice breath of fresh air. Like, you know, it was like, yeah, they're getting back to what it is, you know what it is that they're known for.
Yeah. And then I will also argue, I've got into arguments, I got into debates about this. I believe Dilla's best work was with De La. I've always felt that way. I've always felt that his best work was with De La.
I'm not going to argue the point, but it's never been at the forefront of like what I've thought in regards to like Dilla's best work. I think Dilla's best work is pretty much like everywhere he went, you know what I mean? Like to me personally, I think that dude was just on another astral plane with when it came to the beats and how we chopped shit up, you know what I mean? So I've never really, I don't know, I've kind of just kept it all like it's all top tier to me.
And I'm not saying, and again, I don't mean to say his other stuff was trash, but I think like chemistry wise, I think I will say that compared to his other stuff, and when I read Dan Charnas's book kind of convinced me, it was different than his other stuff.
Okay, you talking about the Dilla Time. I still ain't cracked into
great, that. Great book. Great fucking book. Yeah. Great. Yeah. If you're a producer, this, if you're a producer of hip hop, you have to read that book.
Right.
And but if you're just a historian and you want to see how shit was put together, you know, then that book is also up your alley, you know.
Word up.
So, but if you're a producer, because he actually breaks down his whole shit, like he breaks it down piece by piece, and you know, why his production was different and why everybody tried to bite his shit. Like, for example, I didn't know, and I know I'm going off on a tangent. I thought that he produced that that Janet Jackson Q-Tip shit.
But he That's didn't. What I heard, too.
Yeah, he That's, didn't.
I heard that, too.
Yeah, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did. They just copied his shit.
Oh.
Like, I never, like, oh, that's Jay Dilla. You know what I mean? Like, but
yeah,
then...
for years, that's what I thought, man.
Yeah. Yeah, when I read the book, he was like, you know, how pissed off he was about that shit, you know? Because everybody thought it was him. Everybody, yo, this you? He was like, nah, that shit ain't me.
Now, I see how you would say that, though, in regards to, like, chemistry with De La, because believe it or not, I think when people might think of, like, his biggest, for lack of a better term, hit or maybe, like, best song, they're going to go to Stakes Is High.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that song. Like, they're going to go the way he flipped was it Ahmad Jamal, the piano sample?
I think so.
Yeah. He flipped that joint. Yeah, man.
Yep.
Yeah, and of course, De La was just mad on that joint.
They were on that shit.
Keeping it funky. Like, I never thought, like, not to say, like, they're just, like, nice pushovers or whatever, but, like, you could tell, like, this shit is bothering me, and we're going to rap about it.
And at the time, there was that sentiment. At the time, there was several artists that were dissatisfied with the status quo, right? You had Diddy with the shiny suits, right? You had a lot of which I like. Who? Somebody dubbed it. You had gangster lifestyle music, and then you had cocaine raps coming out of New York. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's what that shit is. It's gangster lifestyle music and then cocaine raps. You know, and he was like, that was a lot of shit that was flooding the market, cocaine raps coming out of New York. And they was like, hey, we don't get down like that. What are we doing? So that's the backdrop of what was going on. And De La was pushing against that, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, still to this day, I remember the Source magazine. I remember getting the Source, and I remember De La got the hip-hop quotable for those first verses.
Yeah.
And I remember reading the verses before I actually heard the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's still, like, to this day, bro, like, I remember, like, I used to cut out the hip-hop quotables, put them in my locker at school.
Oh, wow.
It's still on the wall in my crib to this day. That, wow. You know what I'm saying? Because that, when Dave comes in, keep in mind, like, no knock to Pasta News, because he killed too.
Yeah, he killed, yeah.
But Dave came in, I'm sick of bitches shaking asses.
I'm
sick of talking about blunts, sick of Versace glasses, sick of slang, sick of half-ass awards.
War shows, sick of name brand clothes,
sick of R&B, sick of
R&B bitches over bullshit tracks. Yeah.
Cocaine and crack, which brings sickness to blacks.
Yeah.
Sick of swole head rappers with their sickening raps. Yep. Clappers of gats, making this whole sick world collapse.
They came hard on that shit, yo.
Mad MCs, bro. Like, I've had it up to here with this shit. And this is 96.
This is
96, man. Yep. And I don't know, an indelible mark in the game, man. Like, and it's also one of the rare times where, you know, the album title has a title track. And it's like one of the best songs on the album. You know what I mean?
Yes. You're right.
Yeah, man, I kind of wish artists would get back to that. Remember title tracks? Your album title tracks?
And you know what's funny? Like, I was listening, because, you know, I watched those DJ Premier joints on YouTube.
Oh, I love that. That's my
favorite. I love that line, shit.
So what's up?
And remember how we were talking about sequencing? Remember how I was saying how I like how you sequence your albums?
Right.
And I didn't know that Premier had sequenced Nas's first album.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. I thought Search did, but he was like, nah, I sequenced that shit. And I was like, oh. And I was just like, yeah, and the way they sequenced Stakes Is High also perfect. Was like, it was perfect. It was perfect. Like, oh, yeah, shit. Man. Like, it's crazy. And I know for me, back in 96, I was like, even though I didn't think they lost it, like, yeah, De La could still make fucking hits.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know, you like, know.
The, some of my favorite joints by them are on that album, man. Whether it's the actual title track Stakes Is High, mm-hmm. or the joint with Dave by himself, the It's So Easy.
Yeah.
Goddamn Super MCs. Down Syndrome, the Big Brother beat with Mos
Def. Yeah,
are some of my favorite Day of Life songs. Don't get it twisted. Like, I love everything, but like, these are like some, like, if I want to hear a Day of Life song, like, these are some of the joints that I just automatically go to. A lot of times I will just play It So Easy because I love that hook, man.
Yeah, I love that hook. Yeah. That, you know what's crazy? On my TikTok, that when I sang that hook before they released this shit, that shit got more hits than ever. And than all my other videos when I sang that shit.
People thought she was just dropping knowledge.
Yeah, they were. No. A lot of old heads came on. I was like, that's my favorite track. That's my favorite shit. That's my favorite shit. I love that shit. And there were kids that were in there. They were, well, not kids. They were men my age. They were quoting whole verses in that shit.
And
TikTok was taking that shit down. Yeah. And then some people were saying, yo, TikTok won't let me play your shit. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, I just sang the hook. You know, I was just like, it was like right after he passed away, I was like, yo. And I sang the hook and I was just like, so that shit got the most hits. And, you know, I had a lot of dope interactions with people because of that, you know. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's you know, I was just getting out of the military. And so I'm trying to figure out where I was going. And I remember, like, going to Rocksteady Anniversary. And then me and my brother went to the Hammerstein Ballroom. And De La was there with Mos Def. And Truthy No Lie. And they was doing shit off his Takes Us High. And that shit was just, like, fucking fire. That shit was just, like, that shit was dope as shit. Yeah, like, man. I mean, excuse me, Yasiin Bey when he was Mos Def. Like, my bad.
No doubt.
Yeah, my bad. So, yeah, but that's all I got. If you have anything else to add on, I think we covered a lot of ground.
I mean, I'm glad, you know, the music is streaming and it's out there for consumption for everybody now. That, mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, if you're listening to music, trust me, you're streaming it somewhere, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, you're streaming it somewhere. You know, nobody's walking around with a fucking Discman or Walkman or nothing like no shit like that. You might play the vinyl in your crib or whatever, but nah, we're on the go as people all the time, man. We got our $1,500 phones in our pockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad that they're getting their just due, you know, because I think was it Spider-Man No Way Home?
Yeah, three is the magic number. I forgot to mention that.
I'm like, bro, like, that was a prime opportunity to, you know, almost like get some streams up, get some attention, get some attention to the group, get some attention to their catalog, music.
It did. Yep, it did. And a lot of people were saying, why can't I stream this song? That's what happened. People was like, why can't I stream this song?
Right, man.
You know, because a lot of times when they play it in the movies, that's when the young people be like, I want to stream it.
Right, exactly. You
know? So a lot of people came up because of that, because, you know, they got 30 million streams because this song was in this movie, you know. So, yep.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, all these years later, you know, this music is still getting love. You know,
Jacob Hunt.
BC High and Rising was what, 89?
Yep, 1989, yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you still hold on to it. You know what I mean? Like some stuff, I mean, this isn't to like shit on anybody's art, but like some stuff is just for the moment, man.
I agree.
You know, but some stuff will just definitely hold on to you. And I'm De La Soul is definitely, like I said, top 10 hip hop acts for me anyway. You know, very much a big influence on me and my style and any crew that I've been with.
I agree.
You know, I've literally, like, you know, try to like be as creative and outside of the box as them. You know what I mean? When it comes to the way I put the rhymes together, the way I put the songs together, like, De La Soul's always been a big influence.
For me, it's just the whole Native Tongue shit had a big fucking influence on my entire life. Just the whole shit and the whole vibe. And that's, I remember always trying to be a jungle brother, and I was like, I'm trying to be like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But go ahead, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just about to bring up the fact. I remember finding out that when Dave and I shared the same birthday, man.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it just, that like you want to talk about somebody that was just super happy. I don't know what it just felt really good shit for me, but I was just like, yo, like it's like I knew there was a reason why. You know what I'm saying? I felt so connected to this dude. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. I didn't know, bro. I didn't know.
September 21, the end of the Virgo spectrum. Yeah, that's my guy.
I did not know, bro. I just learned something new today. Wow.
Here's the thing. I didn't know it till Rock Cocaine Flow when he says it at the end of the song.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
My birthday.
That's right. Yeah.
September 2/1/1968. Too old to rhyme. Too bad. Too late. Like, I was like, oh, hold on. I had to rewind it. Yeah, man. Did they ever say what the cause of death was?
It was congested heart failure because he had 2 years ago major heart surgery.
Okay.
And that's why they had stopped touring. That was like they talked about why the streaming thing was important to them because they couldn't tour anymore because of the pandemic, but also because Dave couldn't tour.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So it just couldn't be De La. You know what I mean? Right. So Dave couldn't tour, so they couldn't do it. So his health was really deteriorating, you know, and it just went from bad to worse, you know. So,
So if anything, like we were saying at the beginning of the show, man, I just encourage everybody to really take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Be healthy. Go see the doctor. You know what I'm saying? And because... You know, you only sounds so cliche. You only got one life to live, bro.
True indeed. Like,
for real. True but indeed. We really got to start taking better care of ourselves. I think a lot of it, I don't know, you know, what Dave's personal vices were, you know what I'm saying? Or if he had any. Yeah. But I know for a lot of MCs and a lot of artists, you know, I think about it, you know, and, you know, a lot of these MCs, they come in the game young.
Yeah.
Like super young. If you really look at it, like a lot of your favorite MCs, they came in super young.
Very young. To this day.
You know, and they're touring. They're living a, for lack of a better term, rock star life, and they're mm-hmm. touring. So it's a lot of liquor, a lot of weed, a lot of liquor, a lot of weed.
A lot of late nights, fast food, not getting enough rest. Yeah.
Right. And all that's catching up to you. So now you like 40, 50 something. And your body's like, yo, this is all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. Like,
yeah.
And it's going to take its toll on you.
And what I try to tell people is that what happens is you develop these bad habits. And when you get to be 40 and 50, it's very hard to break them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Definitely. It's very, very hard. Like, I'm fortunate. I'm very, very fortunate that I got these good habits at a very young age. You know, that I got on the game early. So that way I don't have to make any changes. You know what I mean?
I totally feel you there because, like, you know, it's not a day that goes by like it'll be somebody new at work mm-hmm. and they'll find out how old that I am.
Yeah.
And they're like, hold on, what? It's like, man, I thought you were like, you know, early 30s, oldest. I was going to say you were like 28. Yeah. Like, what are you? Then they're like, what do you do? I'm just like, well, you know, if they really want to know, I'll tell them.
Yeah.
And like, it's all really about how you start your day, man. How you start your day, how you end your day, man. Like, I've been doing like some of the same shit for years.
Yeah, same for decades.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, y'all are walking into work with these goddamn energy drinks. First thing in the morning, I was like, have you had any water, sir?
Yeah. I'm just mad sugars in them joints.
Son, like for like the past, like, I mean, most of my adult life, bro, like past few years, like every day I consume approximately 40 ounces of water as soon as I wake up, bro.
Yeah. Yep.
Like at least 40 ounces of water, bro.
Yep.
Like based on, and that's just based off my height and my, you know, I mean, I'm only 5'7", but mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm a muscular guy. So I'm like 180, 190. And so I need the water. You know, I'm taking my vitamins. I'm stretching. Mm-hmm. I got a spin cycle bike now. So I added that to the
morning
regimen, at least 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like out there, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to like, you know,
but you don't, no tri- but triathlon, that's like, but you don't have to be though. You don't, that's my point. You don't have to be
I'm moving,
you know,
though.
Yeah. You don't have to be fucking T'Challa and shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I tell people that you don't gotta be in the gym too. You don't have to, you gotta move. You gotta fucking move and you gotta eat good. And watch what you consume, and then also like you say, how you start your day and how you end your day. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's important. And if you start, and again, they have these bad habits, and they continue these bad habits, and it's just, you know, and it does take a toll on your body. And you know, and it's not. And I'm not even talking about artists. I'm talking about
people.
Everyday people. Like I agree 100%. And I teach middle school, and you know, my middle school kids come in and I'm like, did you eat breakfast yet? And they're like, nah, but I'm gonna have these Takis. And I'm like, hold on, that's not breakfast, yo. Like, what is you doing? You know,
I always make sure the first, you know what I'm saying, in regards to like food, first thing I put in my mouth is something out the earth, man, that ain't been tampered
True
with.
Deep.
Whether it's like some True fruit deep. Or some like some nuts, something, bro. Like,
true indeed.
Like I do my best. Like, I try not to like go for whatever else. You know what I'm saying?
We got
to do better in taking care of each other, and you know what I'm saying, really, like, yeah, just take care of yourself and taking care of each other.
And
we lost Dave.
Yeah,
we lost Dave too early. Guru, Sean Price.
That was just it
tears me apart. You know what I mean? Like, it really does. It's not like, and I hate to just sound like I'm nitpicking with the young boys, because a lot of these young boys they OD'ing.
Oh yeah,
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
the young ones, they're OD'ing,
and they're suffering from liver failure so early because all the liquor they're consuming. You know what I'm saying? Your liver's like, I can't do this shit. Like, stop.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Man. And you know, but. You know, either whether you're ODing or just, you know, having bad health habits, man, you know.
And I think the key, you know, what I try to tell people is, you know, like, I'm not trying to live forever. I just want my quality of life to be good. Like, I just want to be my quality of life to be good. And I think that's the key. Like, what is your quality of life? And that's what we should focus on. Because we're not all going to live forever, you know, but just what is your quality of life? And I feel you, like, that's crucial. And I'm glad you brought it back to this. Like, I'm really thankful that you brought it back to this. Cause like I said, I was shook. I was like, oh shit. And I got my results today. And I was like,
I'm glad. Like, it motivates me. Like, when I see you doing like your morning routine with the, you know, with the moving and shake, the jump rope, whatever. Yeah. I'm just like, well, I know I'm not the only one out there doing it. Yeah. And I know that when I'm Dantra's age, I should still be doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna fake it. I can't really get on the floor and b-boy like that no more.
But most people, can't. Again, I'm not saying you gotta be fucking Bruce Lee. You know what I'm saying? I think that's part of the problem. Cats are like, yo, I gotta be like Bruce Lee. It's either Bruce Lee or Zero. And I'm like, no, you gotta go where you at. Like, you gotta go where you at, where you feel comfortable at. As long as you move. And I think that's the real podcast. Like, I got to be doing this. And I'm like, no, you don't. You know what I'm saying?
I was trying to show the babies a freeze yesterday, a freeze Kodak. I said, like, yo, I couldn't do it, bro. I couldn't hold myself up. Yeah. I was like, holy smokes. Like, I don't do it every day. But, you know, I do other things, but still. Okay, yeah, yo, you motivate me, man. So,
oh, thank you, man. Thank you, man.
So, for real. Continue to do what you're doing, man.
Thank you, man.
I hope everybody, you know, goes out and streams as much De La music as possible.
True indeed. Cop
the vinyl. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even sure. I guess that's the end of De La touring or De La shows. I mean, I can't really see Maceo and Pasta News doing this without them.
Yeah, I know one of the interviews they did, they were saying that, like, if you look at the Sugar Dave shit, it was really just them playing the music. And then, like, if one of the guest MCs were there, they were rapping, they verse, you know. But it wasn't like it wasn't a performance. Mm. It was more like an ode to Dave. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know. Okay, you talking about the joint where the countdown before their stuff went live?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like it was more like an ode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like,
Saint Common Sense showed up.
Yeah.
Hell, Queen Latifah and Moni Love rocked out. That clip, man. You want to talk about somebody that was wilding out when I seen that joint, man?
Yeah.
Like I immediately went to go stream All Hail the Queen and Nature of a Sister, bro. Like, I just random joints back.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, it was more like, I think Maceo talked about, you know, now we don't have to be out on the tours no more. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know what they're going to do. I know Tribe Called Quest still goes out. You know what
really?
I mean? Yeah, Tribe Called Quest still does shows. They just don't do it with. I know they say that somebody says they play the video, so they'll play like they'll do be singing the song, and then when five verses come in, they'll play the video, and they might have somebody, they might have the crowd do the verse. Mm-hmm. That's what they and you know, but they'll tour with like Busta and Consequence and everybody else. So
okay, the
so
people.
Like, yeah,
so
yeah.
They got support for the show.
Yeah, they got support for the show. So I'm thinking maybe De La's gonna do that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Where they go out with different artists and they just jump in and do their verses and, you know, so.
Yeah, man. I just realized, I mean, not to keep going, but I just realized, man, like, when you look at most rap groups and rap crews, man, from, you know, when we was coming up. Like, yo, it's somebody missing from a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of them broke up. A lot of them broke up.
True indeed, but I'm just saying, like you brought up Run DMC, Jam Master Jay's gone.
He's
gone.
You
brought up Tribe, Fife is gone.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Now De La Dave is gone. Goddamn, Beastie Boys, MCA gone.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Wu-Tang, ODB, Boot Camp, Sean Price gone. Hell, even Ghetto Boys, Bushwick Bill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, take it back to the West Coast, NWA, Eazy-E gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, just
and somebody. And here's the ill part. Back then, we thought they were going to go in a blaze of glory.
Yeah. Right. Because they were supposed to get back together. And you know what I mean?
But I'm saying, like, oh, somebody's going to shoot me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to die. You know what I'm saying? Like, live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, but no.
Oh, okay. I got you.
They all succumb to, like, health issues. You know what I mean? Like,
health issues.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, man. So. It's just like, I just think of it, man. Not to, like, sound all down, but it just, I don't know, man.
It's real. I mean, that's real. I mean, I don't want to come off. I don't want to end this, you know, with everything down, but that's real. Right. Yeah, that's real. And where do we get a chance to say that? Where do we get to say, yo, shit is fucking real. Like, we come to the point in our lives where it sucks for black men in America. If you young and I have students that are like, yo, I'm not going to see 20. I have students like, yo, I'm not going to see 20. I really am not going to see 20. And then you have cats my age that like, yo, then I get up in the morning and they're like, yo, so-and-so passed, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, you know, so for black men, this is our destiny. And we do have to fix this shit. And it hurts. It bothers me. But that's the fucking reality that we live in. And we do have a solution for that. We don't have a solution to how artists to get paid better, but we do have a solution to how we can take care of one another because we all we got. You know what I mean?
Word.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we're ending on a bad note, but shit is fucking real, bro. You know?
No, drink some water, listen to some De La.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Word up.
True indeed. So yo, thanks, Zemo. I know we was going back and forth. And shout out to you because you're someone that always stays on my back about these albums. We definitely got to do the Wu-Tang joint. And what I want to do is I want to wait till this season is over of Wu-Tang Saga so we could talk about that. And I gotta read that one Wu-Tang book so we could talk about – because I want to make it a two-part. Talk about the, you know, the anniversary of the album and then, like, just the media influence and what's come from all of the shit that Wu-Tang has done.
Get your widescreens ready. That's gonna be a long episode.
It'll be a two-parter.
Definitely.
So, all right, man. Thanks to you, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, no doubt.
Peace to everybody out in the world that drink your waters and listen to De La with your family. Word is born. Peace.
Bird.
Yo, thank you, Zemo. I'm gonna.
Thank you once again for listening to yet another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. I really appreciate y'all. If you want to book me for anything, a discussion, to be on your podcast, to do a workshop, let me know. You can just go to my website, omisbench.com, and you find all my contact information there. If you want to continue the discussion online on Instagram or Twitter, you can always use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. And if you just want to holler at me, you can check me on my Twitters at DanTresOmi, DanTresOmi. Also, we have an official Twitter for the show, which is Omi's Podcast, OMIS Podcast. And you can definitely hit me up there if you want. Again, I appreciate y'all. In my link, you can also buy a coffee mug, right? That helps take care of the show because I definitely need the money. So once again, be safe. I'm going to check y'all out the next episode. Word.